Good morning. Happy to be back with you today. Let's get first things first here. The groundhog saw a shadow today. So that means what, five more weeks, six more weeks of winter? What is it, six? Nah, the real important thing we got to get out of the way here is that game last night. See, he even got his hair blue. Go with Duke Blue over here. Look, he's turning around looking. He has a Carolina blue shirt on, Duke blue hair. I actually feel so sorry for you Carolina fans that I'm not even going to try to hit on it too much because that was just a whooping last night. I do want to say thank you to our assistant pastors for preaching for me the last 4 weeks. As you know, I have spent the last 4 weeks at our sister church in Randleman. As we transition from their former pastor to their two new co-pastors who have never pastored a church before, throwing them into the fire, and so I've been working with them. And so I want to thank you guys, really on behalf of our district, because our district really appreciates me going up there, but also appreciates you guys for allowing me to go up there. I've not heard anyone really complain or bring up any complaints about that, so thank you for being so gracious to let me to go help other, build other churches in the kingdom of God. Randleman is in that transition now. Last Sunday was the first, I guess two Sundays ago was the first official Sunday with the two new co-pastors, and things are going pretty smoothly right now. We're still trying to figure some things out, still trying to already starting on remodeling the lobby, the kids' rooms, the nursery. But we have our first official advisory council meeting tomorrow, so continue to be praying for that work right there. Speaking of work, the last time I preached, I introduced you our word of the year. And if you've been a part of our church, you know that I like to introduce a word at beginning of every year. And historically, that word that God has given me has proven to be consequential for that upcoming year. And so the word that God gave me this year was work. Not a fancy word, not something that gets us excited because we feel like we have enough work in our life, but that was the word God gave me nonetheless. And, you know, I think it's kind of talking about work, maybe not in the way that we think about work. Something I've learned that working for God does not feel like working in a secular world sometimes. Working for God comes with so many benefits and so brings so much life into your life. And so the verses that God took me to for this series and for this year is Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, and that's where we're going to be at during this entire series. These verses say this, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." Let me tell you what I think about when I read those verses. Working out. He said, work out your salvation. So I think about, when I read those verses, working out our muscles. I've never been that big into strength training. Really, the only time I ever did strength training was in high school when I played basketball, and they made me take weight training class. It was not my favorite thing to do. My weight training was working somewhat on the farm at home, and when Dad would ask me to help him get up a tree that had fell down, he got the easy job of doing the chainsaw, and I got the hard job of throwing it into the bucket. So that was my only weight training, strength training that I had. Since me and Sarah has gotten married, I have done some strength training at home, but nothing too special. There's some things with resistant bands and a little 10-pound dumbbell that I had. But the time that I did do it at home, I actually lost weight. I began to see a difference in the way my shirt and my pants fit, but I didn't stick with it like we often do with things. And so after gaining some weight and just generally not feeling good, I don't know what hit me, but this past October, I decided to get a gym membership. And so I started a gym membership actually in November at Planet Fitness, because that's a no judgment zone is what they have everywhere in there. I don't like their color scheme. I'm not a purple fan, but no judgment zone is for someone that's never been to a gym in my life. I wanted a no judgment zone so that people didn't laugh at me when I didn't know what I was doing. Luckily, at Planet Fitness, every single piece of machinery has a little QR code you can scan that will tell you what to do, show you a video. So there I was, first time with my phone, scanning the QR code, watching how you're supposed to use these machines. And since then, I have fell in love with working out. And we can explain the chemical process on why you fall in love with working out. It releases all these good-feeling hormones in your body, and so you leave working out feeling better than you did going in. I now work out at least 4 out of 7 days a week, and sometimes even up to 6 out of 7 days a week. I love it. Now, working out and anything else I do, really, I want to learn everything I can about it. So when it comes to working out, I have looked up and studied the science behind building muscle. And it's fascinating. And I want to use that as my analogy today as we take a look at the part in these verses about working out our salvation. Now this letter, Philippians, is written by Paul while he was in prison. Now he was in prison a lot. So this is one of the times that he was in prison. And the Philippian church, they seem like a good church. They have sent Paul basically a gift. They sent a messenger to Paul, and Paul says, hey, here's a letter I want you to send back to the Philippian church. He likes them. They've had a good relationship. And so in chapter 2, the beginning part of chapter 2, is kind of the main part of the letter to the Philippian church. Because in this part, Jesus, he quotes a lot of scripture about Jesus and how Jesus showed humility by coming to earth, by foregoing all of his riches, all of the honor of being in heaven. He forgone all of that to come to earth and being obedient to the Father, even to the point of death. And that's where then this picks up. See, when Paul says therefore here, he's taking us back to what was just said. Well, what was just said was, hey, look at Jesus' obedience to the Father. He was obedient to the Father even to the point of death. And so he says, therefore, my dear friend. So you see, he's close to this church. This is not a church that he's getting on to. This is a good church. He says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed. In other words, he's saying Jesus obeyed, and you're following him as you have always obeyed, not only when I was there, but now much more in my absence. You know, that's the real question about the last 4 weeks. Did y'all behave in my absence? I didn't watch the whole service. I just watched the sermon, so I don't know. Randy might have acted up a little bit in the songs. I don't know. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So he says, hey, you guys have always obeyed. You're good people. Thank you for doing that. You're following the example of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, when I'm not there, when dad is not there, when the parents aren't there, that's when the kids act up. When I'm not there, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Let's first talk about what Paul is not saying. He is not saying that you work to be saved. He's saying we work from a place of being saved. This is not you trying to earn your salvation. This is you working from a place of salvation. See, if Paul was telling us to work for salvation, this would have went totally against what Jesus taught. This would have went totally against what he had taught in other letters. In fact, he makes it super clear to us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. It is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is not by works, so that you can't boast or you can't brag about it. In other words, he's saying, you cannot work to be saved. That's not possible. You are saved by grace through faith. So you first come to faith in Jesus, and it is his grace that works in our life that we are saved from our sins. And actually, It took his grace to get you to that point. And so it is by his grace you are saved, not by works. And so I loved what a commentary said here about what Paul is saying here. Paul is telling us to activate, and that's going to be a word we keep coming back to. Paul is telling us to activate the salvation that God freely gave you. In other words, see it evident in every part of your life. The analogy talking about, if we go back to our human muscles, what did you do to earn your muscular structure? Anything? Even Ezra, little Ezra, who's already measuring 4 pounds in Sarah's belly. He is ahead of schedule, and he already has a muscular structure. You can ask my wife because she feels the kicks from that muscular structure already working. Yesterday, all of a sudden, she goes, ooh. And I was like, what? She said, he kicked me real hard. He's already working those legs in her belly. And guess what? Ezra, she might think he's working out, but he's not even working out yet. He might be using her belly as the resistance. He don't have dumbbells in there. But he is working out those muscles. But guess what? He didn't do anything to earn those muscles in the first place. Those were given to him by God. Same thing with your muscular structure. You didn't do anything to earn the muscles that you have, whether they're super small, whether they're super big. You didn't do anything to earn them. You were given them for free by God. And the same thing with salvation. You're not working to be saved. He has given you salvation if you come to faith in him. If you choose to follow him, that salvation is freely offered. And what Paul's instruction here is that you need to use the salvation that he has given you. So when he says work out your salvation, here's what I think that means. It means to activate and strengthen your spiritual life. Two words that I want to focus on there. Activate and strengthen. Let's first talk about activate. Activate means you use it. So if I'm moving my arm like this, I'm using my biceps mainly, my triceps, I'm using my shoulder a little bit. I am activating different parts of my muscular structure in my arm. I'm using it to do something. And then Paul is saying you need to do the same thing in your life. You need to activate your newfound spiritual life that God has given you. You have freely been giving a spiritual life, so do something with it. You know, I like the, talking about Ezra, which I think everybody pretty much knows, but that's our unborn baby due in April. You know, he's going to be born with a muscular structure. You were born with a muscular structure. That was a gift from God. In John chapter 3, I don't have the scripture for the screen, but in John chapter 3, there's a religious teacher named Nicodemus that comes up to Jesus and basically tells Jesus, hey, I know there's something different about you. There's something different about you. So tell me what I need to know. And Jesus tells him that he must be born again. And that don't make sense to him. He said, how can I be born again? I can't crawl back in my mother's womb and be born again. And Jesus says, spirit gives birth to spirit, and flesh gives birth to flesh. In other words, you had to be born again spiritually. You didn't do anything to be born physically. Once you initiate it with faith, it is God who does that in you, and it's up to you to use that spiritual life. It's up to you to activate the new life that God has given you. It's up to you to live it out. For example here, you didn't have a relationship with God before, and now you do. So live like it. We approach the problems in this world differently because we have a relationship with God. At least I hope you approach them differently than you did before you knew God. We should. Christians should not be as fearful as we are about some of the things we're afraid because we now have a relationship with God. I go back to COVID a few years ago. Yeah, you can be scared, And if you didn't have a relationship with God and you didn't know where you were going if you died, yeah, I would have been scared. But because you have a relationship with God, you know where this story ends. And it ends in life. That should not scare you. We should live differently because we have a relationship with God. It means that we should talk to Him. We should interact with Him. We should seek His guidance. We should seek His counsel. We should feel His peace in our life. Things should change as a result, but you, because God doesn't treat you like a robot, you have the free will to choose to activate it or not. Let's give another example. I love Romans 6:6, and yeah, Zach got it on the screen for us. Paul says this: we know that our old self was crucified with Jesus so that the body that was ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. See, before you came to faith in Jesus, you were a slave to your sinful nature. You were a slave to that fleshly side of you that desired to do wrong, and it made it harder for you to do right. When you come to faith in Jesus, Paul is telling us that you are no longer slaves to sin. In other words, you have this newfound power in your life to do something that you couldn't do before. It would be like going from not having a bicep and therefore not being able to do this to now having a bicep, but it's up to you to move your arm up and down. You've got to activate what you now have. For example, maybe you were selfish before. You were constantly focusing on your own wants and your own needs, but now you find yourself actually looking out for other people. Activate it then. Do it. Live differently. Don't just choose to stay in your old pattern of thinking. Activate your spiritual muscle of being selfless and giving to others. Here's another way to think about it. Let's say that each one of the fruits of the Spirit is a separate spiritual muscle. So let's read them. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let's say each one of them represents a different part of a different muscle in your body. Before Jesus, you may have had a lot of hate in your heart, but now you actually start to feel a little bit of love. Then activate that muscle. See, you could choose to still be a hateful Christian, or you could choose to love. I would argue that as a Christian, you should choose to love. Unfortunately, I know some people that claim to be followers of God that choose to still hate. Before Jesus, maybe you were constantly conflicted inside and you created conflicts on the outside. But now you have peace and you want to be a peacemaker. Then activate that muscle. Maybe before you were anything but gentle and kind. And I know some of your past and I know that's true. But now suddenly you have a desire to be kind to people. Then activate that muscle. That's all about doing stuff. We often focus on the Christian life about not doing bad things, and we don't focus as much on doing good things. That was all about doing good things. Let's talk about the bad things. Before Jesus, maybe you had no self-control over your sinful desires. But you know what Scripture says? You are no longer under the power of sin. That chain has been broken. So guess what? You now do have self-control, but you've got to activate that muscle by saying no to sin. The more you activate your muscles, let's cover the second part, the stronger they become. This is how strength training works. The idea is that you constantly activate your muscles so that they become stronger. So with strength training, what you are doing is you're choosing to activate a certain muscle group by providing it with resistance. So that's why you're holding the dumbbell. That's why the machines. I love the machines at Planet Fitness because they tell me what muscles that it is supposed to be activating. And then if I am feeling activation at another muscle, then that means I'm not doing it correctly, which has happened more times than I'd like to admit. It means that I'm too far down the seat or too far up in the seat or something. But it's telling me what muscles I am activating when I use the different machines. And you pick what weight you want the resistance to be at. So my favorite one to do is preacher curls. And I guess it's because I'm a preacher. So I love the preacher curl machine. You sit down and you lean over this thing and they have the bars down here and you are curling with your arms doing bicep curls and it works your biceps. It mainly just targets the biceps. So you're over there doing that and you set your weight to, and what is happening as I'm bringing my arms up with that resistance is it's literally creating micro tears in my bicep muscle. My biceps are being stressed to the point that they are tearing. It's also using up energy, which is called ATP. For our Mexican restaurant lovers, it's not ACP. That's something different. ATP. Which is why you eventually, if you've ever worked out before, eventually you just can't do it anymore. So I can do, you know, like let's say 10 reps. You aim for 10 to 12 reps is what I aim for my initial one. And I can't get that last one up, even though at the beginning I could lift it up no problem. The reason why is because I had used all the ATP in my bicep muscles, which also helps it to grow. So as those muscle tears happen and as the energy is expanded, you know, your muscles begin to swell. Have you noticed that if you worked out or if you have ever done anything that required use of your muscles? You'll notice your muscles begin to swell. The reason why is because blood's rushing in there. It's saying, hey, there is something wrong. There are tears happening here. Let's repair. And so it starts to send satellite cells to your muscles, which helps them to grow back. And the idea is that the more you damage your muscles, the bigger they'll become because they repair, and they repair bigger than they were before. And so they become stronger, they become bigger, and you're able to lift something heavier. And even in these few short months, I've been able to see progress in what I could do on the bicep, the preacher curls. I can see that I've started at this weight, and now I have to go down to this weight in order to even feel like I'm getting a workout. It's because that damage and repairing has happened back and forth. Well, let's compare that to the spiritual life. It works the same way. When you activate a spiritual muscle, it strengthens that area of your life, and you're going to be more likely to do it again. Sarah's not in here right now, but my father-in-law was one of the most giving people I know. But I can tell you this, and my mother-in-law's in here, and she'd probably say amen. He loved to keep stuff. Yeah, you hear that? I don't know how many dumpsters we've went through of stuff that he wants. Five dumpsters, 15-yard dumpsters, most of them, I think, stuff that he kept that is no longer needed. Yet he was one of the most giving people. And so looking back over his life, I see this battle that probably happened within him. He probably was not the most giving person before. But I bet he gave to someone at one point, and it felt good. And he felt growth in his spiritual life, so he did it again. And he did it again. And he did it again. And what is he doing every time that he's given something to someone else? He's building up that spiritual muscle of giving, of generosity. Even to the point that right before he passed away, he'd purchased a car for a homeless man. That is exercising that muscle of generosity. I'm going to mention Kristen Gray here. Kristen Gray, a few years ago, they had been coming for a little bit, and I preached a sermon on tithing, and she stopped me out here after one of our community dinners or something, and she said, I just want to let you know that we've started giving, and I cannot wait to get to church to give. But that's because she exercised that spiritual muscle. And because she exercised that spiritual muscle, now she's embarrassed. Because she exercised that spiritual muscle, all of a sudden she fell in love with it. On the flip side of that, let's talk about not sinning. If you say no to sin, you'll realize that it's easier to say no the next time. And as you keep saying no, eventually it will get easier to say no to that sin. And so that's what you're doing is you're building those spiritual muscles so that you can live the spiritual life that God is calling you to live. You probably have heard the term of spiritual disciplines. I often like to say spiritual practices. But the spiritual disciplines are like going to the gym. Some of the more common ones that we talk about are Bible reading, Bible study, prayer, generosity, fellowship with other Christians is what you're doing today. And then one the Bible mentions a lot is fasting, choosing to withdraw from food to help us to pray and worship God in our lives. These are, the spiritual disciplines are repetitive things that you are supposed to do regularly, and if you do them, they will make your spiritual life strong. So if you're reading your Bible every day, and you're actually studying it and not just reading it, you're actually digesting it, you're actually taking it into your life, you're strengthening a spiritual muscle. Same thing with prayer. I've already used the example with my father-in-law with generosity. One reason why we meet every Sunday and why our table gatherings meet every week is because that builds in that routine of you coming together every week and you're strengthening that spiritual muscle of fellowship with other Christians, which actually is about also carrying your other Christians' burdens. Your muscles are sometimes needed when they need help. So you're coming together to help each other carry the burdens that we're facing in our life. These are things that we should be doing regularly to strengthen our spiritual life. And it's important to have a strong spiritual life, and I'll tell you why. Using another motivation I had for going to the gym in the first place. I started going to the gym in November because I realized that if I did anything other than working on my computer or playing around with Elijah, I was sore the next day. You know I like pickleball? After playing pickleball, I would be sore on Mondays. Even got to the point where I was having to wear a knee brace on this knee because right above that knee just would hurt all the time. And I'm not even old yet, and I was already having knee problems. We were joking out there, so Wes comes out there with two knee covers on. I said, that's how you know you're really old. Mark eventually had to start wearing one, and I was wearing one, and then Darren's out there not wearing any. Well, he's wearing something, just not wearing anything. He was wearing knee pads. He wasn't wearing no knee pads. And I said, you can tell the age differences through here. But I was like, man, I shouldn't already be having knee problems. And so I looked it up, and what was happening is this muscle was not strong enough to handle the stress that I was putting on my knee. And so their solution was to strengthen this muscle and my butt muscle, and it would help that. Randy, that one's supposed to be funny, Randy. It would help that soreness to go away, and sure enough, that soreness has gone away. A few years ago, I went from not running at all to running 5 miles a day, which was a bad idea in hindsight, and I had shin splints that just would not go away, and that was related to my calf muscle being too tight and being too weak. See, the soreness that I felt was because my muscles were not used to being activated like that. They could not handle the stress I was trying to put them under. By a show of hands, have you ever had to do some really demanding physical work and the next day you could barely walk because you are so sore? Oh, everybody. You want to know why that is? Because your muscles, yes, that's the technical term, it's because your muscles were not ready for what you did. Now, if you knew that you had to do something, you probably would have taken steps to prepare yourself. For example, someone that runs a marathon doesn't go from one day being on the couch 7 days a week to running a marathon the next day. They're going to take the steps to prepare because they know it is coming. But when someone asks you to go move a heavy couch, that catches you by surprise, and your back is not ready for it. If you aren't prepared, it's going to hurt, and potentially you could even get majorly hurt. Let me tell you something. There's going to be some things that happen in your life That's going to put stress on your spiritual muscles. And if you aren't prepared, it's going to hurt. And it could even result in a tear or severe damage to your spiritual muscles / your spiritual life. But I'm here to tell you today, these things shouldn't catch you by surprise. If we knew we was running a marathon, we would prepare for it. Guess what? Paul tells us we're running a marathon. Guess what Jesus said? John 16:33 says, in this world, you will have trouble. Not you might, not if you have trouble. He says you will have trouble. So it's not a matter if your spiritual muscles will be put under some extra stress. It's when. So you need to prepare now so that you can handle the stress that's going to come in the future. And that leads into my last point. We need to have strong spiritual muscles in order to handle the stress that will come in the future. Not a matter of if, it is when. Going back to what Jesus said in John 16:33, he says, in this world you will have trouble, period. You will. So prepare your spiritual muscles for that trouble. If you don't prepare them, then when the heavy lifting comes, you're not going to be able to handle it. And it could result in permanent damage to your spiritual life. But here's the key. When I am preparing my physical muscles, it's so that I can physically lift something or physically do something with my physical muscles. But when it comes to our spiritual muscles, it's not always about what you can lift. You prepare them, not so that you can do the heavy lifting. You prepare them so that they remember who to go to. What does Jesus say in that next verse, or next part of John 16:33? Take heart, because I have overcome the world. Not, hey, you can handle it. No, it's take heart, I have overcome the world. See, when you're developing your spiritual muscles, what you are developing is spiritual muscle memory. I'm sure you've heard of muscle memory. Let's talk about spiritual muscle memory. Muscle memory is the result of repetitive actions that create instinctive responses in the body. And let's just change that. Instinctive responses in the spiritual body. This was the official definition from artificial intelligence. So let's change that to our spiritual body. I love that it says instinctive responses. See, the idea is that after you do something so many times, your body can instinctively go back to doing it again. And that means with instinctive, you're not really thinking about it. It just does it. For example, some of you hadn't rode a bike in a long time. But if I put a bike out here, you probably could ride it again. Why? Because of muscle memory. I took piano lessons when I was younger. I could still play some songs on the piano, at least one song on the piano, because my fingers remembered the muscles, what muscles were used and where. Even like if you take time off from working out, so if I took 3 or 4 weeks off of working out, I would be able to regain the muscle mass and strength that I lost quickly because of muscle memory. My muscles are used to being built in that way. Let's apply this to spiritual muscles. Guess what all those spiritual practices that I listed are ultimately about? They're all about going to God. Even the fellowship. Guess what we're doing here together is we're coming together with one another, but you're here to worship God today. And Scripture says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am among them. We are here to go to God. Even when you are generous to other people, when you are choosing to give to other people, that is, you're never more like Jesus than when you're giving. And Jesus is going to make himself present in that, present in your life, and he's going to work in your life in amazing ways. So all those spiritual practices were ultimately about going to God to develop that muscle memory. See, we need to make sure that we are going to God in the good times so that in the bad times, we don't even have to think about what we do because our spiritual muscles know exactly where to go, and that's to God. Going back to the Philippians 2:12, the last part of that verse tells us that we do this. We work out our salvation, so activate it and strengthen it by going to God with fear and trembling. That's fascinating. I saw two takes on this. One take said that we do this with fear and trembling, knowing that the struggles of life are going to come. Knowing that if our spiritual life is not strong, that it could result in permanent damage. But I've also, and this is how I've applied it originally, when you work out your salvation with fear and trembling, you're basically working out your salvation with reverent awe of who God is. Because you know just how big your God is compared to whatever is going to come your way. And so talking about the muscle memory and constantly going back to God, developing that instinctive response in our spiritual life, you do that because you know that you can't make it in life without Him. You do it because you know that you need Him. You have so much respect and adoration, and you're just in awe of who He is. This is a healthy fear that brings us closer to Him. And church, this is so important. Because I've unfortunately seen Christians hit with trials and tribulations and temptations when their spiritual muscles were not strong. When they didn't work out their salvation. When their spiritual muscles were weak. I know that we've used this analogy before, and you've probably seen it on social media, but Satan, it's like a pack of wolves walking or a pack of sheep walking, and the one that lags behind is the one that gets attacked. The one that is weak is the one that Satan's going to go after. And so I've seen weak Christians who have weak spiritual muscles because they've not worked them out. They just let them be. I've seen them get attacked, and too many times it has resulted not only in a little bit of pain, but straight up muscle tears. It resulted in great pain to both them and their family and their friends and to their church. Some to the point that they still haven't healed yet. Some to the point of having a long road to recovery. And it doesn't have to be this way. Many of you know Miss Annette Spinks that goes to church here, Mary. And she had a stroke here a while back. And Don and I went and visited her in the hospital. And you would have never known she had a stroke. I mean, her spiritual life was just as strong as it ever was. It was the most unique hospital visit I've ever made. She's in there just singing praises. She sang two songs to us while we were there, just praising God. Why? Because her spiritual muscles were strong. She knew exactly who to go to. When her physical muscles were not, her spiritual muscles were. And so she's currently, just so you know, she's currently down in Texas for a little bit. Stay with her daughter as she rehabs, and we look forward to having her back here. I think about Heidi and Danny. They've been through it here recently, and they have continued to stay committed to God through it all. I think about even more recently, Shane's with us today after just being in the hospital. Tanya has been messaging me the last couple weeks. I mean, they have a lot going on, not to mention with Shane going in the hospital, and yet they continue to keep their faith in God. Why? Because the spiritual muscles are strong. Listen, the trials, the tribulations, the temptations are going to come. They are here right now for some of you. Make sure you are prepared to respond in a way that glorifies God. So as the worship team comes up, here's my encouragement for you this week. activate and strengthen your spiritual muscles. What I mean is, if you're not doing a Bible reading plan, get in the Word daily. Activate that muscle. If you're not praying every day, pray every day. Activate that spiritual muscle. Strengthen it. If you've never done fasting, fast one day this week. Take some time to spend that time with God in the time that you'd normally be eating, and every time you feel those hunger pains, point it back to God. Remember God. Let your mind wander to God in worship and adoration of who He is. One discipline I didn't mention was worship. That's a spiritual discipline. That's a spiritual practice. Miss Annette, when we went up there to visit her, she's starting to be able to move her arm and leg a little bit, but not great. But it didn't stop her from raising them in her hand in worship. Her physical muscle memory may not have been great, but her spiritual muscle memory was. How's your spiritual muscle memory when the tough times come? Do you still raise your hand in worship? Do you still bow your knee in prayer? Or do you tend to wonder and forget all that God's done for you? So we're going to give you the opportunity now, during this last song, to activate worship. And I'm also going to invite you to activate prayer. You know, there's nothing special about these steps up here. These are just steps. We don't even have a fancy altar. There's nothing special about that. But there is something special about you choosing to physically get up out of your seat and come forward. Because part of that is triggering something in your brain to make you know that you're coming to God. Now, can you go to God at your seat? Absolutely. But you're triggering something else when you come up here. Not spiritually, psychologically is what I'm saying. Maybe you need to do that so that when you're at work this week and that person makes you mad, or when you're at work this week and you just feel like crying, when you can't come up here, you can come up here in your brain to pray and to seek Him, to worship Him. So I want you to stand to your feet. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to invite you to activate those two today, and I hope that you'll activate your other spiritual muscles this week. Let's pray.